Father, bless these words to our hearts in Jesus' name. Turn in your Bibles, please, to Colossians chapter 2. In verse 6, as you therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in Him, rooted and built up in Him, and established in faith, as you have been taught, abounding in it with thanksgiving. Beware lest anyone carry you away, as spoils of war, taking control of you through philosophy and empty deceit, according to the tradition of men, according to the basic principles of the world, and not according to Christ. You've received Christ. The word there is paralambano in the original language, and it means you've joined yourself to Christ. This, in Ephesians 2:15 and 16, took place at the cross, where you became one individual with Him, one new man with the Savior. This took an act of volition on your part. You've received this. So walk in Him. Continue in this. Walk in Him, rooted and built up. Now, rooted is a word that's a little bit vague for people sometimes. In John 15:5, in the first part of the verse, He is the vine, we are the branches. What rooted is talking about is we're receiving our life from the vine. We're rooted and built up in Him. The built up part is the second part of John 15:5, where we keep ourselves in the love of God and we keep the Word of God in our frame of reference. This is how we live. This is how we walk with Christ, rooted and built up in Him, keeping ourselves in the love of God, keeping the Word of God in our frame of reference so Christ can continue all the time to be our source. And established by faith. So this is established, made firm by our faith as we receive by faith from His Word, and then we apply what we have received in Romans 1:17. And this is what our relationship to God is about. As you have been taught. Now, this is not something that comes naturally. This is something that has to be taught. This is one of the reasons why we have pastor teachers. By the way, it's a pastor-teacher, not pastor or teacher. There is a teacher that's not a pastor, but there is not a pastor who's not a teacher. So a pastor must have a pastor's gift and a teacher's gift. Now, 1 Corinthians 3:10 says that the pastor-teacher builds our foundation, and that foundation is Christ. We then built upon what He has built for us as that foundation. In verse 12, we build on it with faith, gold, redemption, silver, and the love of God, precious stones, the fruit of the Holy Spirit. And so, this is how we build. But He has to build for us first. If we continue and we are established, then by virtue of receiving by faith and applying what we've received also by faith, we will be building with gold, silver, precious stones. We will be building by faith, by redemption, by the fruit of the Holy Spirit. Now you have another thing, and that's extremely important. Without this next part, none of this works. Abounding in it with thanksgiving. The word with in the original language is en, and it's a preposition that denotes instrumentality, through or by means of. Abounding in what you have been taught by means of thanksgiving. Beware lest anyone carry you away as spoils of war, taking control of you through philosophy empty deceit according to the tradition of men. Tradition of men refers to the extra laws. In other words, you had the laws that Moses gave, but in Ezra's days, they started to add to those laws. And they continued adding to those laws till after Christ was crucified, they still added some new laws. So now you have 613 laws. The extra Moses laws, the ones that were not given by Moses, those are called traditions of men. These can lead you away. In Psalm 94:20, the throne of iniquity works mischief by the law. The throne of iniquity is Satan's throne. It's the throne of evil. And so Satan can utilize these traditions of men, these extra laws, or he can utilize philosophy, which is very common today, and he can utilize empty deceit, which is also very common today, and the basic principles of the world to capture you and to take control. These things are not according to Christ. They did not come from Christ. What happened that Satan was able to get in there with these things and take you captive? A lack of thanksgiving. You had what you needed. You received Christ. You joined yourself to Him. You kept yourself in the love of God, kept the Word of God in your frame of reference so that you could have Him as your source, be rooted in Him. You were established by receiving the Word of God by faith and then exercising it, applying it by faith. You had a foundation that was laid by a pastor teacher, and you abounded in it by means of thanksgiving. You abounded in it by means of thanksgiving. And then you didn't abound in it anymore. The thanksgiving went away. The pastor teacher didn't go away in most cases. The fact that you're one with Christ can't go away, only experientially, but never positionally. The fact that you were being built up in Him, that was kept by thanksgiving. But it went away. And He's no longer a source because it went away. We grow in Christ because of thanksgiving. And we are also protected by thanksgiving. Thanksgiving is much more than just being grateful. Thanksgiving is not just saying grace before your meals. Oh, thank you God for this food. That's fine. It's great. Nobody's against that. That's great. But it's much more than that. Thanksgiving is a kingdom issue. It's a warfare issue. Thanksgiving is our provision for growth. It's what keeps our heart right with God. It's what keeps us, our capacity, open to Christ. If Satan can take away your thankfulness, Satan can take away your entire life experientially with God. Without thankfulness, we cannot experientially walk with Christ. And will become victims of the enemy through natural reasoning and logic at either side of the tree of knowledge of good and evil. Where there is no thanksgiving, there becomes rationalization. Why should I be thankful for this? Have you ever heard of that before? You Christians say you give thanks for everything, and then why, you give thanks for this also? How can you give thanks for this? It was terrible. But that's not a person who understands thanksgiving. Thanksgiving is not an appreciation of the circumstances. Thanksgiving is not even thankful for circumstances. Thanksgiving is an appreciation of Christ in circumstances and thankful for Christ in circumstances. The circumstance has nothing to do with thanksgiving. Completely independent of circumstance. Yet, Satan will try to utilize circumstance when a person goes to the tree of knowledge of good and evil, evaluating their circumstances by sight, with natural reasoning, and then they become negative or bitter if the circumstance challenges them and their emotions respond negatively. And there goes the thanksgiving. That's where Satan can take things away from you. That's where he robs you. That's where you lose your life with God. You can try to maintain a life with God through a religious exercise, but it's still not a life with God. It's an imitation. It's a forgery. It's not the real thing. A life with God only comes through thanksgiving. In Romans 1:21, although they knew God, they did not glorify Him as God, nor were thankful, but became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Professing to be wise, they became fools. In 2 Timothy 3:2, unthankfulness is a part of the perilous times we're living in. Right now, we are seeing a whole lot of fools in the world. If you're telling me that you don't know that you're a boy or a girl, that's a fool. I'm sorry if that hurts your feelings, but that's a fool. If you're telling me that you don't have to be either male or female, that other people can be other things, now they're up to, 72 genders or something like that, that's a fool. That somebody who's living in these bizarre, perverse imaginations and then trying to implement them somehow, that's a fool. They profess to be wise. Why did they do this? Because they were not thankful. How did our country, for example, get from where it was, where we really were a nation that by and large did respect God, to a nation where to a large extent God is being persecuted, Christians and other believers are being persecuted? Why did that happen? How did we become a nation that even remotely tolerates anti-Semitism? When God says, pray for the peace of Jerusalem, they prosper that love you. How do we become that nation? And yet you see it on college campuses, you see it in the corporate world, you see it among celebrities now more and more. Now a few years ago they wouldn't dare. Now they're open about it, they don't make any bones about it. Politicians saying that there needs to be an open intifada. What? You're calling for an intifada? And you want to be the mayor of New York? Are you out of your mind? You're a fool. You stand against God in your arrogance as though a little dust ball could stand against the creator of the universe. You're lucky he doesn't squash you like a grape. Fool. What happened there? No thankfulness. Why do people follow people like this? No thankfulness. It's astonishing to me how many people get into these high-level positions who are actually anti-God, and they got there through no thankfulness. They knew at one point that He is God, but they didn't glorify Him, and they were not thankful. So their thoughts became futile. And their foolish hearts were darkened. no light at all in their frame of reference, and they became fools, although they professed to be wise. They professed to be the enlightened crowd, but they're clueless as clueless can be. Anyone who knows history, anyone who knows a lick of truth, anyone with two brain cells to rub together can tell you this is absolutely clueless, and it's running rampant in our country. It's growing, it's festering. It's running rampant in our country. Why? No thankfulness. In Deuteronomy 28:47, because you did not serve the Lord your God with joy and gladness of heart for the abundance of everything, therefore you shall serve your enemies in need of everything. It's disturbing in a way how frequently this can happen, how easily this takes place. You don't serve God with joy and gladness. And the reason why it happens, and there's only one reason, it's self-orientation which leads to unthankfulness. There's never been anything like self-oriented thankfulness. Oh, I know that one Pharisee said, God, I thank you that I'm not as other men are. But he didn't even pray to God. He was talking to himself. There's no such thing as real thankfulness that is born in self-orientation. Because thankfulness is something that the Holy Spirit produces in us. Don't neglect thankfulness. And I'm not saying, oh, just keep saying thank you all day long. It's a condition of the heart. But if you start sensing about yourself a lack of thankfulness, again, not toward a circumstance, but toward the God of the circumstance, then let that be a red flag. Adjustments must be made, or Satan's going to rob you. In Genesis 3:3, Eve, after she received what she should not have, and by receiving what she shouldn't have, she ultimately became a servant to her enemy. And I say she became a servant of her enemy because she yielded to him in things that she knew were not of God. She yielded to him in things she knew would do her damage, but she yielded anyway. Adam did the same thing afterwards. They became a servant of their enemy. We become a servant of our enemy. We can become a servant of other people intimidating us, yes. But more commonly, we become a servant of our own sin nature, of our own negativity. We become a servant of our insecurity, things the enemy develops in us when there is no thankfulness. And we start to serve those things for one reason or another. We start to serve our poor self-image by trying to elevate our self-image. Why do you need to elevate your self-image? And I'm not saying, why don't you have a good self-image? I'm saying, why is your self-image an issue? It's not about you. Why do you have insecurities? You have no ability to begin with. So why do you have insecurities? Romans chapter 7 says there's no good thing in you. Why do you have insecurities? You don't have to be insecure about that. You can be darn sure there's no good thing in me. I'm quite secure in that. Because you think there should be something good in you. I'm thankful that God accepted me the way I am, that He works with me the way I am, that He called me the way I am, warts and all, for good, for bad, for ugly, for warts and all. God takes me, He uses me, He accepts me, He calls me, and He does the same for everybody else that is willing to respond to Him. Why are you worried about self? Why are you worried about your righteousness? Seek the righteousness of God by faith. It's a relationship with Him. But you can't do it through unthankfulness. In verse 6 of Genesis 3, Satan convinced Eve. Her enemy convinced her. Isn't that something? A person becomes easily convinced by someone they know is their enemy. He does it all the time. He convinces you not to take God seriously. He convinces you out of a cross in your life. He convinces people into self-preservation, as though there's something about self to be preserved. What is self-preservation? Think about it for a second, because so many believers live in this. What is self-preservation? You've been crucified with Christ. What is self-preservation? It's nothing more than an attempt to get rid of the cross from your life. You've been crucified with Christ. It's already happened. Yet self-preservation says, I have not been crucified, not in so many words, but in effect. I have not been crucified. I have a self-image to maintain. I have security to maintain in myself. Get this one. I have relationships to maintain. And how exactly are you going to do that outside of the cross? Your life comes from Christ in Galatians 2:20. You can't find that outside of the cross. Your relationships come from Christ. You can't find that outside of the cross. I want satisfaction. And how are you going to get that satisfaction? By circumstances, by relationship, by people going along with you, you think, or how you see things, or your preferences? It's not how things work. You're not going to get satisfaction from people by bringing them into subjection to your old sin nature. That's not how things work. That's not even a relationship. You're not going to put expectations on people and expect them to be able to meet your expectations when no one can meet your expectations. Nor are they supposed to, nor will God tolerate it if they try. You're not to be their idol. You've been crucified. Thank God you've been crucified. Because when you were crucified, you became one with Christ. And He replaced your life with His own. He replaced your value with His value. He replaced your purpose with His purpose. He replaced your time with His. He gave you eternity. Thank God you were crucified. You've got all the thankfulness reasons in the world. Thank God you were crucified. The heart indeed is deceitful above all things. Jeremiah 17:9, and desperately wicked. In Matthew 7:1, judge not that you not be judged. In Jeremiah 17:10, it says, I, the Lord, search the heart and test the mind, even to give every man according to his ways, according to the fruit of his doings. judge not, lest you be judged. What is in your heart with your deceitful mindset? What is in your heart? Judge not, lest you be judged. With whatever judgment you judge, you will be judged. And with whatever measure you measure, it will be measured again to you. The person who lacks thankfulness is a judge. They don't think about it, but they are. They judge their circumstances, they judge other people, they judge their families, they judge whatever. The person who lacks thankfulness is a judge. But the biggest judgment mistake they make is they stand in judgment of God. And that's why they're not thankful. God can control anything. And yet look what He has allowed to happen. God could give it to me if He wanted, but He didn't. That's what Satan used with Eve. They stand in judgment of God. Now, God tests the heart, He examines it, and He examines the mind, and He gives everyone according to their ways. Well, in Matthew 7:2, it says He gives everyone according to their judgments. If you see God in such a way that you're not thankful, what judgment have you made? Why are you bitter? Why are you negative? Because you've made the wrong judgments, and God is giving you according to your ways. You've judged God as being something other than kind, other than faithful, other than love, other than Savior. And so God is giving you according to your ways. The judgment that you have chosen is the judgment you're receiving. We think to ourselves that this makes no difference. We think to ourselves that it might be a religious exercise of some kind. We think to ourselves that it really doesn't influence our lives one way or another besides making us a little bit grumpy here and there. But we don't recognize warfare at all. We don't recognize what God is doing and what Satan is trying to get us to bring ourselves into. Satan cannot take anything from you that you don't give him. So he's trying to get you to give it over voluntarily. Satan cannot make a Christian's life miserable. So he's trying to get you to make it miserable for him. Satan cannot condemn you. So he's trying to get you to condemn yourself. Satan can't make you bitter. So he's trying to get you to do it for him. That's why it's a throne of iniquity. He doesn't have his own throne, so he has to build one through your iniquity. Self-orientation. That's easy for him to manipulate. We always receive according to the fruit of our doings. This is why we can be thankful. It says in 1 Chronicles 16:34, "O give thanks to the Lord, for He is good, and His mercy endures forever." So what if I, instead of being negative and accusing God, what if I say, God is so merciful to me? Because He is. Have you ever considered how patient God is with you? That despite who you are, who you know yourself to be, not anybody else necessarily, and we know all our little weaknesses and we know all our little warts. And God knows them even better than we do. And He's kind. He sees us fail and He meets us with compassion. When we have a need and we don't deserve any help, He meets the need. God is kind to the unthankful. That alone will make you thankful. You see, it's always according to the fruit of our doings. In Philippians 4:6, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, or by prayer and petition. With thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Now, this requires eternity in our hearts, in Ecclesiastes 3:11. Because He makes everything beautiful in its time, but if I do not have that as my mindset, that God makes everything beautiful in its time, how can I see a circumstance that is negative and not accuse, and not be unthankful, and not be negative and critical? How can I see something that challenges me and say thank you? I can't. But you know, when a doctor goes into the operating room and he opens up the patient's body and he fixes what's wrong, the patient doesn't say, I resent you for cutting me. The patient says, thank you. We say thank you to God, even though He brings those difficult circumstances, because, and this is the only way to see it with eternity in our frame of reference, those circumstances in Romans 5, 3-5, teach us the love of God. They are for our sake, indeed they are for our sake. They did come from Him in 2 Corinthians 5:18. We don't thank the knife that the doctor is using. We thank the doctor for using the knife. And so we thank God. We can be thankful to Him. We live with an eternal plan played out in time. We do not live with a time plan lasting eternity. We live with an eternal plan played out in time. And so the plan, as I walk through it now, doesn't end in time. It only starts there. And sometimes the outcome, not always, there'll be plenty of times when it is not the case, but there'll also be plenty of times, we see this at the end of Hebrews 11, when this is the case. Sometimes the fulfillment of the plan happens in eternity, not in time. Sometimes we receive the fulfillment of promises in eternity, not in time. Because there's no difference to God between time and eternity. We live in a time plan and we want to take it into eternity, and God says that's not how it works. Your time considerations, your temporal desires, your temporal purpose, that doesn't carry into eternity. My eternal purpose played out in time, that does carry into eternity. Eternity in your frame of reference allows you to see His eternal purpose. That's the only way that you will understand what God is doing and the outcome of it. In Jeremiah 17:7, blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord and whose hope the Lord is. For he'll be like a tree planted by the waters, which spreads out its roots by the river, and will not fear the heat when it comes. But its leaf will be green, and will not be anxious in the year of drought, nor will cease from yielding fruit. Thankfulness comes from trusting God. And it brings results. When a person is thankful, that's when they become fruitful. When a person is thankful, that's when they open the doors to God to do things for them, to bless them. A person who is unthankful is a person who lives outside of faith, which in Romans 14:23 is sin, and therefore, because they refuse to get right in their sin, God will have to bring a chastisement process. But when the process is complete, then because the thankfulness gives them the right frame of reference, they can receive all sorts of blessings from God. It's all born in thankfulness. Learn how to be thankful. Learn how to be thankful. In 1 Corinthians 15:57, be thankful to God because He gives you the victory. Be thankful to Him. You're unthankful for circumstance and you lose your victory. But remember, it's not the circumstance that you are thankful or unthankful toward. It's God in the circumstance. So you can be thankful in every situation because it's not the situation. It's God in the situation. Don't think for a moment that He doesn't have full control. It's been ordained. He knows the end from the beginning. And He's figured it out and it's all in place. From His perspective, you can be thankful when you see from His perspective. In 2 Corinthians 4:15, all things are for your sake. All things are for your sake. All things are for your sake. So the grace of God extends to more and more people. It may increase thanksgiving to the glory of God. In Colossians 1:12, giving thanks to the Father, the one having qualified us to share in the inheritance of the holy ones, and that's done in Romans 5:8 by making us to be one with His love in light, who rescued us out of the dominion of the darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of the Son of His love. God is the one who allows you to be an heir of the kingdom. That is His good pleasure. You get to it through thankfulness. Now, we're so accustomed to that word thankfulness that every time we hear it, we don't get it. This isn't Thanksgiving holiday. This isn't some religious exercise. This is a recognition of truth and a response to that truth. Much deeper than the way that we see it. I wish there was another word for it. Thankfulness is everything. It's the manifestation of humility. It's the opening of capacity. It gives God freedom to bless. It's literally everything. Without thankfulness, there's nothing going on between you and God. He's just waiting for you to turn. In 1 Thessalonians 5:18, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God. In everything. Now, it didn't say for everything. It said in everything. because God is literally in everything. All things are of God. All things are for your sake. And the good that all things work toward in Romans 8:28 is to conform you to the image of His Son. There's a lot to be thankful for, but remember, it's not just saying thank you. It's responding to God. Amen?
If you've never accepted Jesus as your Savior and you don't know where you're going to go when you die, simply pray, "Dear Jesus, I know I'm a sinner. I receive you as my Savior. Thank you for loving me so much that you died for me so I can have eternal life with you. Amen."